Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Jeremiah Speak broadcast. Please stand by.
You restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom.
Well, good evening. I was hoping we could hear some of that, more of that song, but welcome to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, and we're about to get to the good part. It is good Friday evening. It's a wonderful opportunity to see you. Oh, you're so pretty. Everybody's beautiful this evening. It's a wonderful time to celebrate the goodness of the Lord, God Almighty. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is Bernard Reed, your host of the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. You may reach us through email or by call or text. You can call or text us at 804-313-7853. Again, it's 804-313-7853. And we prefer text, but calls are fine too. If you call, you may not get an answer, so please leave a message. And email is go, teach, and baptize, all one word spelled out, at email.com. That's not right. Let's try it again. Go, teach, and baptize at gmail.com. GOTEACHANDBAPTIZE at gmail.com. Well, today is the 28th of October. We're moving in on what some people call a holiday. And that would be Halloween. And it's a funny thing. I was born at 8:31 on a Friday evening on the 30th of October, just 3.5 hours before Halloween. I'm so glad it happened when it happened and not 3.5 hours later. Jeremiah Speaks broadcast is certainly dedicated to divulging and addressing idolatry in the local church. I won't say that there's a lot of idolatry between the church and Halloween. But obviously, as the leader of the Jeremiah Speaks ministry, I have a little issue with Halloween. You know, I have a big issue. It's a celebration of darkness. And in a nutshell, it's a celebration of darkness. And I just, God repeatedly throughout the Old Testament and much Testament talks about darkness. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of John. No, actually, let's do something different. Let's preach. Let's go to Psalm 37. And we're going to go to Psalm 37 and verse 25. So if you're following along, I'll give you a second to get there. Psalm 37 and verse 25, really popular and familiar psalm, I'm sure. Once you get there, you'll see this. Oh, yeah, I know this. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Psalm 37 and one verse, verse 25, although I'm going to talk about pretty much all of the verses. So Psalm 37, 25, and say amen when we get there. All right. Well, you must be there. Okay, so Psalm 37, 25, and it reads, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. All wise, eternal God, and our righteous King, we thank you for this preaching opportunity, this moment of inflection. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to speak the word, praying that your word will go forth and accomplish wherever it is sent. We pray your blessing upon each and every hearer of the word. You said, be hearers of the doers of the word, not hearers only. But you also said that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Speak to the church, we pray, O Lord, on this night. And so, amen. And so we come and we use for a subject, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never seen the righteous forsaken. So this is a Psalm of David. And this is a Psalm of David that's so different from most of the Psalms of David or any of the other Psalms in the Scriptures, in the Holy Scriptures. In fact, this may be distinct and the only Psalm in the Scriptures that it operates quite like it does. This Psalm is more like a proverb than it is a Psalm. If you all read it verse by verse, and we're going to go through some of the verses, you'll find that all of the verses, they're repetitive and not necessarily interconnected, very much like the Proverbs. And so David has written a psalm that comes across like a proverb. Now we need to remember that David wrote it in verse, if you will, using poetic terminology. He wrote it in verse, but not chapter and verse like we have it written before us today. And so this had to be translated and interpreted. And so with the verses leading up to verse 25, in chapter 37, the verses leading up to it build to a crescendo. Now, building to a crescendo is you start down low like this. You start kind of soft, and you might even start in left field, and you build up as you go. And each verse, even though they're not necessarily connected, they're all interrelated somehow. And David has taken this thought and built it and built it and built it and built it to a crescendo. And that's the way the crescendo works. And so when he gets to the crescendo, that's verse 25. And verse 25 does not need a lot of interpretation and translation. It speaks for itself. And that's what we're speaking about tonight. So we're going to kind of take a look at these first verses, and we find that David works through this. And again, it's written like a proverb. It's written by King David. And David starts off in the first verse, says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." So he starts off saying, don't worry about people who are not saved. Don't worry about, and I'm not talking about worrying about their salvation. Don't worry about the heathen prospering. Don't worry if folk are getting ahead of you in line and they don't know Jesus and they're unrighteous folk. Don't be jealous of them. Don't worry about them. Keep your mind on what God has for you. Let the church say amen. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Then in verse 3 he says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, I like this one. You know this one. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Keep your eyes and your mind off of those that don't have their lives together. Your only concern about them really is leading them to salvation. Don't be jealous of the unsaved. Don't be jealous of the unrighteous or people that serve other gods or witchcraft, any of that. Do not be jealous of them, but place your focus on our Lord and Savior. Place your focus on our God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust in the Lord. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. So he will bring our righteousness forth as the light. Now, this is in the Old Testament, and this is David when he didn't have a mediator. He didn't have a go-between. He didn't have Jesus on the cross dying for his sins. He had to be as righteous as he could possibly be, working his salvation and his righteousness on his own. Well, that was pretty much impossible, but he was doing the best he can. And the description of David by God himself is a man after God's own heart. And so David is writing here that we must commit our way to the Lord. He shall bring forth our righteousness as the light. Now, we know Jesus is the light of the world, and we are to walk in the light, the beautiful light. Shines all around us by day and by night. And then he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers because of the way, because of the man who brings wickedness devices to pass. He's saying, keep your eyes on the Lord. And don't be jealous. He's saying it again. Don't go after, don't be jealous of the wicked. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't say to yourself that it seems like everything they do, they get. It seems like they get ahead of me. They get the promotions. They get the raises. They make more money than I do. And they're just as wicked as they can be. Maybe I should do some of that stuff. No, that thinking is not of God. David said, don't even consider it. You just keep your hand to the gospel plow. Hold on, David is saying. Hold on. Every now and then we need to tell our brothers and sisters in Christ, hold on. I know it's getting tough. I know you've been mistreated. I know they didn't treat you right, but hold on. The Lord is going to make a way for you. And then he says, remember, they're going to get that. But that's not for you to dish out. You just hold on. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise. And then he talks about the evil. He says, for the evildoers shall be cut off. For those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Where is David going with this? He's building to this crescendo. He talks about the wicked, how they plot against the just, against the righteous, gnashes upon him with his teeth. But he says, the Lord will laugh at the wicked, for he seeth the wicked's day is coming. That's why we need to stay out of that path, not be jealous, and not take part in the way of the wicked. We need to steer clear of that. Wicked have drawn out the sword, have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be upright. Conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. And then he comes back and says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. I'm going somewhere with this. A little bit of righteousness is better than a whole heap of wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. That sounds a lot like what Paul says. Paul says that, talks about the reward for all of our sins, for the wages of sin is death. Paul reminds us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And then David goes a little further. He says, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. For how long? Forever. So if we keep our hands in the gospel plow, keep holding on, church. Hold on, church. Keep holding on to what you know is right and walking in righteousness, and the Lord has given us everlasting life. The wicked prosper only for a season. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time and in the days of famine. They shall be satisfied, talking about his righteous. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, and shall they consume. The wicked borrows and pays not back, but the righteous shows mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So now that's some, respite there, that the steps of a good man are actually ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delights in his way. Now we get to verse 24, and this is where the crescendo happens. Though he falls, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord uphold him with his hand. And that brings us to our text, and our text is the crescendo. Well, read, where are you going with this? 10 times here, David has said, do not be jealous of the wicked. Do not want what they got because it looks like they're going somewhere when the only place they're going is to hell. Can I say it again? It looks like they have prospered. It looks like they have a few dollars. Looks like they have the best job. Looks like they have this and that. Even though they cheated to get it, even though they stole to get it, even though they manipulated to get it, even though nobody knows the nasty, dirty things that they really did to get it, David is saying, I have learned in my life, stay away from that, because God sees everything. And the same God that reigns on the just and the unjust, they're taking advantage of what he's allowing them to have, but one day the tables are going to turn, and woe unto you if you're at the table with them. Stay away from them. Don't desire their ways. Leave it alone. So now we get to the crescendo, and the crescendo is, it brings us to the cross, to the crescendo, the text. I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now we got to talk about, what did David just say here? Well, David says, I've been young, and I've been old. Okay, let's look at this part. What do we know about David when he was young? Well, David was Jesse's youngest son of 8 children, and he was charged with keeping his father's flock. David said that while I was young, one day I went out there and a lion came against the flock. And David said, I had to protect the sheep, and I killed the lion. Another day I was out there and a bear came against the flock. I had to protect the sheep. See, I got the Lord ordering my steps. And because the Lord orders my steps, I killed the bear too. David said, I went up to take some provisions to my brothers who were in battle. I saw that a wicked old giant stood on the other side, beckoning for one of the Israelites to come down and fight him. He wanted to fight King Saul himself. King Saul wasn't going down. No other man went forth. But David said, I went forth and I said, who is this uncircumcised man standing over there calling names to the people of God? And he said, they suited me up, and I went out and took 5 smooth stones, but only used one, only needed one to kill Goliath, to kill the uncircumcised Philistine for coming against my God. And he says, this is a young David. The young David played the harp for the king. He was also a musician. And it did the harp soothe the king's bipolar soul. And David said, as a young man, we know that David was anointed king of Israel. Samuel went to where David lived and went to Jesse's house and said, one of your sons is going to be the next king of Israel. And he went to all 7 of Jesse's sons, and none of them fit the bill for the prophecy of Samuel. And Samuel said, is there anybody else? He said, well, I have one son, but he's just a ruddy youth. Nice-looking boy that watches the sheep, but he can't be talking about him. Turns out when Samuel saw him, he said, that's the one. And Samuel said, let me tell you something about the God we serve. Man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. We know this. That was a young David. Now David said, I've been young, but now I'm old. I've been young and I've been old. So then we look at the old David. David, as he was growing up, became a mighty man in battle. And in battle, he was befriended to the son of the king, Jonathan. And they became best friends, 2 of the greatest friends of all time. Then David went on to marry the king's daughter, Michal. And David, we know, married the king's daughter, and then he became legendary in battle. The women were singing a song. They made up a song that said, King Saul, the great King Saul, kills his thousands, but David kills 10,000. King Saul heard the song, got jealous, got out of the spirit, lost his religion, and tried to kill David. Searched and chased David for trying to run him down and kill him because Saul knew he was going to lose the kingdom. God took his anointing off Saul, but David kept pressing on. He didn't want to fight Saul. He ran from Saul. Saul, in his jealousy, chased David. David was on the run from the king. Saul took David's wife, Michal, and gave her to another man. And you know that has to hurt. That has to hurt. The love of your life he gave to another man. David, 22 years later, became king. Still had the anointing, became king. David married Abigail and got his wife, Michal, back. But then David did something Saul was unable to do. Philistines had stolen the Ark of the Covenant. David went and got the ark back, brought the ark back, and gave the ark a house. And David became the great general and the great king. And David had it going on. He had almost flushed out the Philistines, their number one enemy. And then one day David was on the rooftop and saw a woman taking a bath. And one thing led to another, and he ended up in adultery with that woman. And because of that, the woman became pregnant, and God took the child. The child was born, got sick, and David begged God, please, Lord, I'm the one that sinned. take it out on me. Don't kill this innocent child. Innocent child died. David married Bathsheba, the mother of the child, gave birth to Solomon, who would become the next great king of Israel. David defeated the last. They were on their own then. He defeated the last enemy. There was peace in the land. And God called David a man after God's own heart and promised David that the Messiah that would come, the king of the earth, the Messiah, Jesus himself, would come out of the lineage of David. David said, I've been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Let's unpack this verse here. Let's unpack this last part of this verse. David has reached a crescendo in his psalm. Through all of David's ups and downs, God has always been there. He's been an ever-present help in a time of David's storms. So what would David say on Halloween weekend? Talk back to me if you can. What would this David, who's been young and been old, covered the whole gamut, been through some of the worst emotional distress, been down on his face in sin and delivered by God himself, been beaten about, been chased 22 years to get what he was anointed for? And David says, I asked this evening, what would David say on Halloween weekend? Through all of his ups and downs, God has always been there. What would David have to say on Halloween weekend? David would say, I've never seen God's seed begging bread. David would say, I've never seen God's seed begging bread. Why would the righteous dress their children up like witches, ghosts, and demons and send them into a darkness and beg for candy? David might say, why would the righteous celebrate wickedness in the name of innocent fun? Why would the children of light dress up in the cover of darkness and go house to house begging? Children of light in the church, in Acts, went house to house giving. Can I say that again? In Acts, the second chapter, we find out that the children of light went house to house giving, not begging. We don't beg. Why are the righteous coveting wickedness and candy? David is saying this symbolizes something. This symbolizes something. And right here, I believe the prophet Elijah would say these words. He would step in and say these words. He'd cut David off, and Elijah would say, is it because there's no God in Israel that you go to inquire of the devil? That's what Elijah said about the king Amaziah. There is nothing in darkness for a Christian. Why do you send your unsaved children into the valley of the shadow of death, dressed up like Superman, like Spider-Man, and like SpongeBob? Is it because the promise of God is not enough? That is what Christians who celebrate Halloween in such a way are saying to my God. They're saying, we love God on the one hand, but on the other hand, God is not enough. God can't give us candy like the world can. God is not enough. He doesn't give us the traditions of darkness like the world can. We're just fascinated by some of the things over there. We're not doing any harm. We're just having innocent fun. And God said, innocent fun will send you to hell. Oh, Lord have mercy. But we're not doing it. We're grown up. We don't do Halloween. We send our children out there to do it. We send our children out to beg. Are you attracted to the devil's night celebration? Are you ultimately jealous of the wicked? David said, stay away from that jealousy of the wicked, because the wicked are going to get what they got coming. And if you over there dressed up like them, you're going to get what they got coming. David declares, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In 1 John 1:5, this is then the message we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Look at all these witnesses. My friend Dorinda sent me those three scriptures. Look at all these witnesses. when you dress your kids up and send them to the homes of strangers to trick or treat, remember, many angels and witnesses are in the way. David, John, Isaiah, Elijah, Matthew, and even my friend Dorinda, and all the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles, and even the chief apostle Jesus, they're all saying, stop begging from sinners and making like this is a game. They're all saying, don't go, don't go. And as your children walk through this gauntlet, you got all of the saints hollering, don't go, don't go, don't do this, don't do this. That's what Halloween is. Halloween is a slap in the face to the God that I serve. It's dabbing in witchcraft. It makes Elijah cry out, is it because there's no God in Israel that you're trick-or-treating? It makes Isaiah say, don't go. It makes David say, God has supplied all of your needs. Why would you envy? Why would you dress up like? Why would you play around with the wicked when they're going to get what they got coming? And then Jeremiah speaks, says, this is just symptomatic of a sick nation. Jeremiah speaks, said, this is symptomatic of folk that are not putting to work the word of God that he wants to place in your heart. God wants to place in your heart. God said in Leviticus, he said, if you want to have a festival, my people will have the best festivals. He spends chapter after chapter in Leviticus explaining this is how you do a festival. You start with a day of rest. You end with a day of rest. And in between, you have some of the most revelry that you could possibly imagine. You need to show the world how to have a festival. He says to them, when you have a festival, you forgive sins. Come on and talk back to me if you can. When you have a festival, you forgive debts. When you have a festival, everybody is on the same team, and the revelry is about love and excitement. My church shall be known for thy love for one another. My church shall be known because nobody has lacked. And they're not going to the unsaved. They're not going to the unknown begging for candy or begging for anything else. But no, they're not reflecting back on the evil culture that started this. They're reflecting ahead and saying the church is growing. And we're going from house to house feeding folk. We're going from house to house celebrating Jesus. We're going house to house celebrating that no man lacked anything. And everybody had everything that they need. Oh, Jesus is watching. God is watching. Holy Spirit is watching as we prepare our kids. We say we don't dress them like devils anymore. We don't dress them like witches anymore. The number one costume, I heard this morning, number one costume for Halloween is witch. It's a witch. A witch is the enemy of God. Oh, it's not a real witch. Just dress my children up like the enemy of God. Jeremiah speaks is speechless on that one. Who would do that? Who would say, on the one hand, I love God, and on the other hand, I'm going to dress my child up yet like your enemy? This be the church that God called us to be. God showed us how to have festivals. Go to Leviticus 21 and see what he told the Jews about having festivals. He said, I want you to have the best festivals. I want them to be pure. I want you to start with a day of rest and finish with a day of rest. I want you to have pure and holy celebration. And I want to be in the middle of your celebration. I don't want you to have a celebration that I can't be a part of. To do trick-or-treating, you have to lay the Holy Ghost on the side and say, Holy Ghost, I don't need you right now. I'm going to go make fun of you just for one night, and then I'm going to come back and worship you on Sunday. Oh, my goodness, Jeremiah speaks. It's upset up in here. But David said, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Let's don't let our kids go out begging. Let's be the church that God called us to be. This is the word of God for the people of God, even so said the Spirit. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. May God bless and keep you. Stay tuned for the Fivefold Ministry and Apostle Margie Mercer.
Yes, the songwriter says, thank you, Lord. God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. We would like you to sit back and abase yourselves as we go into the inner courts going behind the veil. We thank you so much for listening to us each week. We can be heard Monday through Fridays from 7:30 p.m. till 8 o'clock. Again, you can hear us on Sunday mornings from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock. Let us go in now and worship the Lord. God bless you.
You of joy. Over here we breathe. And I have a full understanding. I praise it because I have a relationship. I praise it because I trust God. You have no idea what the praise of. Wait, wait, wait. Some people don't know what you're being afflicted with right now. But I need a praise in here right now that's on the face of the dead.
Listening to Corey Mickle and Church. I feel like praising God. Do you feel like praising God? Yes, we do. Each and every day, we feel like praising God. Even if you don't feel like it anyhow, because he woke you up in the land of the living. Again, you're listening to the Inner Courts broadcast as we go behind the veil. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. And this is our disclaimer. As I say, the songs belong to the artist, and we are here to promote those sounds of Zion and to encourage you in the sales of those music to reverence God. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, and we listen to the album called Church by Corey Mickle. Again, it's Church by Corey Mickle. Let us sit back and relax and just enjoy praising the Lord. Amen. Songwriter says, it's your season to win. You have to have that attitude that it is your season to win. Each and every day, you have to believe by faith that all things are possible to God and him that believe. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. We are praising God in spirit and in truth, and we are worshiping him and having a good time. You know, I like to listen to another Pentecostal hymn. It's by Jabari Johnson, and he played a nice rendition on the guitar. Let us sit back and just enjoy that. We had a busy week, and now we're going to abase ourselves and just worship God. Put a smile on your face. Feel happy that you're in the land of the living and that you're under the blood. Amen. Jabari Johnson, he's playing Corey Mickle's song, Church, that we just listened to. And truly, you have to listen closely to see that it is the same sound. The young man is so talented. He is playing the bass guitar and the lead guitar at the same time. He's switching from one instrument to another. It is truly a blessing. We love to praise God. As I said before, my godmother church was called Pentecost Jerusalem, and we used to go in there with them tambourines. You walk in with shoes on, you leave out, you had no shoes on. And I used to laugh. The women came in with their hats on, looking all nice in their seats. And when they was finished, the hats was on the floor, the women wigs were pulled back, and truly they had a good time in the house of the Lord. As tonight we are just celebrating my godmother, Pastor Carolyn Watson, Dr. Carolyn Watson, who was with Pentecostal Jerusalem, and truly she taught me how to go behind the veil, touch the hem of his garment, and praise God the good old Pentecostal way. Let us finish listening to Jabari Johnson, and it's called Church by Corey Mickel. God bless you. Have a good time on that Friday night service in that Pentecostal Jerusalem church. We would go out to eat. We felt so good. And we was like, you know what? We need to go back and start service all over again. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. You can hear us Monday through Fridays from 7:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock, and also on Sunday mornings from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock. I want to encourage you to get this particular album. This is one of my favorite. I'm going to play it in its entirety to encourage you in the sale of the Kaiser Singers Traveling Shoes. Again, it is the Kaiser Singers Traveling Shoes, and this is one of my Pentecost favorite songs, God Bless You. Amen.
Somebody don't want to pray with me this evening. If you don't want to pray with me, is it all right if I pray them by myself? I said, you don't have to pray with me, but is it all right if I just pray them by myself? Because you've been good to me, brought me through some stuff. Every now and then, I want to sit at home, just watch TV. But then I start thinking about how good, how good, how good he's been to me. My soul, say yes. When I get lonely, yes. My soul, say yes. I get disappointed, yes. I get heartbroken, yes. I get sleepless nights, yes. But my soul, say yes. Yes. Can I get two or three witnesses, yes, that know what God would do, yes, if you just give it to him, yes, and don't give up, yes, don't quit, yes, don't go back, yes, just keep looking to the hill, yes, for when's coming your help, yes, and anybody know tonight, yes, all of your help, yes, not some of your help, but all of your help. All of your help yes, come from the Lord. Yes. You ought to help me say, yes, my soul, say yes, 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 yes,
I do.